There is an old adage that says something like this: as long as there is breath, there is life. Now from that, we might add another adage. And it would go something like this: as long as there is life, there is a choice. And my friends, as far as our lifestyles are concerned, we have two proffers of lifestyles. Glenn said, I've never heard that word before, proffer. And I used it for a reason, and one of these days I may reveal that reason, I may not. But it very simply means offer. We are offered two different lifestyles in this world, are we not? What's interesting to me is this: the two lifestyles that we are offered differ in spelling one from another by one letter, and it's the letter L. One of the lifestyles involves the world, and the other lifestyle involves the Word of God. Those are our two choices. Either you can live as the world, or you can live as the Word of God asks you to live. In Romans chapter 2, Paul counsels us regarding our selection. For there he writes the following: and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul's counsel as to the lifestyle we should live. The title of the lesson very simply is The Proffer of Two Lifestyles. Paul gives four words of counsel in that one little verse. So we'll be staying right there in Romans 12, verse 2 for the remainder of the lesson. The first counsel, the counsel to refrain. And be not conformed to this world. That little word be is an action word, and it indicates what one should become. But notice that immediately following that word, Paul puts a negative, does he not? He negates that. And he says, be not conform to this world. In other words, he's telling us what we should not become. Do not conform to what? To the world, he says. The world is the sphere of evil. It is the domain of wickedness. It is the very kingdom of Satan himself. John describes the world with three phrases in 1 John 2:16. Notice what he says: for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Those are the three things that make up the sin, the iniquity, and the avenues through which you and I live an ungodly, worldly, carnal life. Folks, the world involves all of the thoughts, all of the words, all of the actions that are carnal, devilish, wicked, sinful, violent, hateful, sensual in nature. And what does Paul say? Be not conformed to the world. That little word, conform, is an interesting word. Thayer defines, or Strong defines it as follows: to fashion alike, that is, conform to the same pattern. Thayer defines the word as follows: to conform oneself. I love what's in the parentheses. That is, one's mind and character to another's pattern. Vines defines the word to fashion or shape one thing like another. It is possible for every one of us in this audience to look, to behave, to act exactly like this sinful world. If you go on a cruise ship I say that because I just got off one. There is a company that has made an agreement with probably about 20 different cruise lines, and the name of the company is the Park West Gallery. And when you're on there, a couple of times a day, they always have art events. Kathleen and I like to go, and we like to look at the pictures, look at the artwork, and they even have sculptors. And I've got one of them there on the overhead that was on our boat that we were on the last time. Now, that thing looks small there. It's about 2.5 feet wide. It is a huge sculptor. Now, every one of these has an artist who makes the original. So I can see that, can't you? I see a man taking different forms of material, and he molds it, and he shapes it, and he forms it, and he paints it. He does whatever he has to do. And you look at that, and you say, that's the original. That's the one that's going to cost you some bucks. That's the $20,000 one right there. But they're wanting you to buy those. So they have others that look almost identical. In fact, it is hard for somebody like me to tell the difference between an original and a copy. And I got to thinking about that. How in the world do you make something like that that is almost identical to the original? So I had to ask. And I found out how ignorant I was, because it's not that hard. They make a mold out of the original. And once they have that mold, they can pour into that anything they desire, and out of that comes a copy, doesn't it? The artist takes the copy, he paints it, he shapes it and forms it to look as close as possible as he can to the original. That's the $12,000 one. It's not the original, but it's almost exactly like it. Folks, that's exactly what Paul's talking about, is he not? Don't you dare allow yourself to be poured into the mold of this world. Don't you dare let this world shape and form and sculpt you into its image. Be not conformed to the world. Don't think like the world. Don't talk like the world. Don't act like the world. I find it interesting that Peter exhorts his readers to do the same thing, using the exact same word in the Greek language, but translated somewhat differently in the English language. Notice what he says. As obedient children, here's the word, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lust in your ignorance. My friends, Paul says, yes, you have two choices. You can live like the world, or you can live like the Word of God. Do not live like the world. I find that's interesting. If a child of God cannot so sin as to lose his eternal salvation, then why would Paul counsel Christians, don't live like the world? Doesn't even make sense, does it? That's point number one. Point number two, the counsel to revolutionize. I love that word right there. Be ye transformed. Do you hear that little word, be? Now, a while ago he said what? Be not. Don't be this way. But now he says, here's the way I want you to be. I want you to be transformed. We've entitled the section, We Want You to Be Revolutionized. The little word revolutionized means this, to effect a radical change. Got a question for you. Is there a radical change between a caterpillar and a butterfly? Now, caterpillars are cute. Okay? sorta, kinda, but not really. That's what my dad used to say. They're sorta, kinda, but not, they're kinda ugly too, aren't they? But that little sorta, kinda, cute, ugly, little wormy looking thing can be revolutionized, transformed into a beautiful butterfly, can it? We have a bush in our front yard and it just attracts 15 or 20 butterflies at a time. It's just unbelievable. And they're as beautiful as they can be. What is the process we call that? We call that metamorphosis, don't we? I find it interesting that that is the exact word Paul uses to talk about our transformation as Christians. When you look at that little word transformed in the Greek language, it is metamorpho. Meta means what? Change. Morpho, form. What's Paul saying? I want you to change your form. I want you to be radically altered. Vine says this, the obligation to undergo a complete change under the power of God will find expression in what? Character and conduct. Instead of being like the world, Paul says, I want you to be something totally, completely different than the world. Wow. And according to the last three words of Romans 12:2, he tells us exactly what he wants us to be changed into. He says, I want you to be changed into the will of God. My friends, the will of God is the Word of God, isn't it? At least the Word of God contains His will. And that's the reason that we refer to the second proffer as the Word. This book stands in complete contrast to the way the world lives, does it not? How is that accomplished? How in the world do I live by the Word of God? Folks, Paul gives the third counsel, doesn't he? He says it's going to take the renewing of your mind. The way a person revolutionizes, transforms, alters his way of living is by looking deeply into the Word of God, renewing his mind. When you and I grow up in this world, we're poisoned by the world, aren't we? And what's so sad is we as Christians can be easily influenced by what's in the world. In fact, you and I as Christians can very easily accept the words, the teaching, the works of the world as if they are just as normal as they could be. Isn't that what the world does to us all the time? We even might have a tendency to put some of the world's practices in operation in our own lives, mightn't we? To change that, folks, you've got to study the book. You've got to renew the mind. Because that's the only thing that's going to alter how you're living in this world. When you and I pick up this book and you and I begin to read what this book says, here's what we ought to tell ourselves. We ought to tell ourselves, this is what God says. It's not what Victor says. Oh, I realize that men wrote the book, didn't they? David, Solomon, Peter, James, John, yes, men wrote the book, but folks, they were writing the very words of God. How do I know that? Listen to what David said on one occasion. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was what? In my tongue. When I pick up this book, I'm not reading the words of a man. I'm reading the very word of the Almighty God. And it's the only book on the face of the earth that has these words in it. The only one. Now notice this next point. These words come from a God of truth and a God who is good. Isn't that true? And if that be the case, then guess what? Everything that I read from here, if this book came from God, and He is truth and He is good, everything in it is what? True and good for my life. I need to remember that. Now watch this next point. There's going to be times when I'm reading and studying this book that it conflicts with some things that I might hold dear. It conflicts with some of the ways that I behave. It conflicts with some of the things that I really want to do. In fact, I enjoy doing them. When that happens, guess what I have to do? I have to realize that the things that I'm thinking, the things that I'm doing, the ways I'm acting, the things that I love are the trash of the world. And Paul says, get rid of the trash. Don't be conformed to that stuff. And I've got to replace it with what? I've got to replace it with what is good and right from the Word of God. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11, one of the most beautiful texts about God's Word in Scripture. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Much more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Every Christian ought to go home and set those verses to memory. Because David is proclaiming unto us the greatness, the holiness, the worthiness, the majesty of the Word of the living God. It is this Word, my friends, that renews the mind and transforms the life of men. And that leads to Paul's fourth point, the counsel to ratify, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Think about that. Paul wants these Christians to take this book and put it to the test. That's exactly what that little word prove means. He commands them to do that, doesn't he? That ye may prove. I want you to prove it. Strong says that that little word means this, to test. I love what Thayer says. He says it means to test, to examine, to prove, to scrutinize. Why do you want to do that? To see whether it's genuine or not. It's easy for me to say this is the greatest book on earth. It's easy for me to say this book right here is something that every person needs to live by. It will make you a better individual. Will it really? There's a lot of people in our community who don't believe that. You know what we tell them to do? Take it, put it in your life, and prove and see if it ain't so. Terrible English, but it's true, isn't it? Vines defines the word in this way: test. And I love this second part. Prove with the expectation of approving. Now what's interesting is this. Paul says that this book can do three things for us. And that's not surprising. Folks, God didn't give us this book just to read, just to have. When God gave us this book, He knew what it could do, didn't He? He understood the power that's in it. Notice what He says. So shall my word be which goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return me void. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. It shall accomplish that which I please. God has a purpose for His book. And one of those purposes is this. I want you to see that this book is good. It's good. What does He mean by that? It's beneficial. Thayer defines the word as this: of good constitution or nature. He says it means useful, it's pleasant, agreeable, excellent, distinguished. Vine defines the word as good in character, beneficial in effect. We go out into the world and we tell them, guys, have you ever read? Have you ever studied the Bible? Nope, never have. Don't even know if I really believe it. You know what we tell them? Take this book, make application in your life, and guess what you're going to find? It is good for you. It is beneficial for you. When you put this book into your life, guess what it's going to do? It's going to make you excellent in character. You are going to become, I love this, distinguishable from all that is in the world. But notice, secondly, he says, I want you to prove my book. And when you do, you're going to find it's acceptable, fully agreeable, well-pleasing. Vine says it's pleasing, well-pleasing. If a person will truly live by this book, guess what? He's going to get to the end of the test and he's going to say, this is the greatest thing on earth by which any human being could live. It's agreeable. No doubt in my mind. And notice the last point he says, it is perfect. What does he mean by that? It's complete. Wanting absolutely nothing with regard to its completeness. Having reached its end. God gave this book to us to do something for us, and guess what? If you'll put it in application in your life, it will do exactly what God intended for it to do. I've already told you to memorize one verse. I want you to memorize another one this afternoon. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things. All things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who hath called us to glory and virtue. Now, there's several points we can make, couldn't we? God has given us some things, a few things, part of the things. No. God's given us all things. You know what that little word all means? There ain't nothing left out. That's what that means. There's not one thing God has left out. For what? Life and godliness. Everything I need to live my life here on this earth, everything I need to have a relationship with God, He has provided. Where? Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Everything I need to live my life and have a relationship with God is right here, folks. Every bit of it. Nothing's lacking. Nothing's wanting. It's complete. If you don't believe it, try it. That's what Paul says. Now watch this point. To confirm those truths, a person has to be serious about what? About the application of God's truth in his life. See, there's a lot of individuals who come to the church. They obey the gospel. And then guess what they do? They play Christianity. They're not serious about it. They're not sober about it. They play at it. What do you mean by that, preacher? Folks, you can't do a little here and a little there and expect God's Word to do what it's supposed to do. Can't do that. You can't try to walk in the ways of the world and walk in the Word at the same time. It won't work. You can't stop just because one or two little things begin to get a little hard. Ooh, I don't like that. Jesus doesn't want me to drink. I ain't going to do that. Jesus doesn't want me to cuss. I ain't going to do that. A little bit hard, isn't it? You got to do some changing in your life. Don't like that. Can't stop because it's hard, folks. And guess what? You can't quit just because there might be some obstacles that are put in your way. I'll guarantee you, the moment you begin to transform your life, the world is going to come against you. Your friends, your relatives, your co-workers, whoever it is, they're going to put as many obstacles in your path as they possibly... Oh, this is just way too much. No. What was it that James said? But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and what? Continueth therein. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Folks, if you want to find out if this book is good and pleasing and perfect, you put it in your life, you live it every day, and don't you ever stop. And when you get to the end of that test, guess what you're going to say? Yep. This is the best thing that ever happened to me. That's what it's designed for. That's its purpose. And you won't look anything like those ugly old beings out there in the world. We are proffered two lifestyles while we live here on this earth, folks. That's all. Just two. One is the world and one is the Word of God, isn't it? And guess what? Only you can make a decision for your life. I can stand up here and encourage you, exhort you, shame you, whatever it needs. But I can't force you to live by the book. Can't do that. That's your decision. I want to close this lesson with four exhortations from the Word of God. One of them comes from the mouth of Moses in the book of Deuteronomy 30 verse 15. See, I have set before you this day life and good, death and evil. That's exactly what we've done, haven't we? There's two lifestyles. You can choose the world if you want to. Folks, that is what? That is death and evil. Or you can choose to live by the Word, and guess what that is? That is life, and that is good. We've been in a study of 1 Kings, haven't we? Not long ago, we were talking about 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, and Elijah standing before the nation of Israel asked them a question. How long halt ye between two opinions? You see, there's some people out here trying to live in the world and live by the Word. You can't do that. can't do that. How long are you going to halt between two opinions? That leads to the third exhortation. What Jesus says, no man can serve two masters. Can't do that. If you're trying to live by the world and by the Word, guess what? You're living for Satan, my friend. That's who you're living for. Because you can't serve two masters. According to Matthew 6:24. The final exhortation comes from the lips of a servant of God by the name of Joshua. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Who are you going to serve, guys? Are you going to serve the world? Or are you going to serve the Word of God? That's the choice. Every one of us just needs to stop and needs to honestly ask ourselves, which lifestyle am I really living in my life right now? God wants you to live by His Word, doesn't He? And when you do, there's so many promises that you cannot imagine. You know that? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8, verses 1 and 2. There's freedom. There's reward. There's rejoicing. There's purity. There's holiness in living the way God wants us to live. Do you need to respond to this invitation? Our Lord tells us exactly where to start in His Word, doesn't He? He says, I want my Word to produce faith in your heart. And if it's done that, I want you to repent of the sins, those ugly things that are in the world. I want you to get rid of all that. I want you to come forward and confess my name before men. Bury the old man of sin in the waters of baptism. My blood will cleanse you from all those transgressions. And you can come out a new creature, a babe in Christ, no sin whatsoever, and you can start all over. And with the help of my Word, guess what you can do? You can renew your mind and live the way God wants you to live. If you need to respond to this invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing.